It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Jet Lacy on the board. We're talking about Obama's speech. And there was a couple of things that, you know, he kind of, you know, threw in there that, nah, nothing surprises me anymore. But, it, you know, probably have some long-term impact on that. What was the one that you wanted to talk about this segment?
Well, there's a couple things that, and I actually wanted to ask you because I didn't quite get it. I don't understand how the ins and outs of it works. But he said, with all deference to separation of powers, last week the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations, to spend without limit in our elections. I don't think American elections should be bankrolled by America's most powerful interests, or worse, by foreign entities.
What, they're not now?
Yeah, but they just opened the floodgates, and I know that, you know, McCain-Feingold had the, you know, their little bill and all that stuff, and I really didn't understand the ins and outs of that.
Okay, the bottom line is this. McCain-Feingold, it's not about eliminating special interests from having a say in the elections. It's about you not having a say in the elections. There's all kinds of controls and everything. That's why the Ron Paul revolution was such a slap in their face, because it was individuals doing whatever they wanted. First Amendment, we're not coordinating through the campaign. I wouldn't have anything to do with the campaign. And the big reason was just because I don't deal well with collectives, but, you know, any kind. You know, I just want to do what I want, and I don't get, you know, I know I didn't get the memo. There wasn't a memo to send me, okay? There was no committee. But the other reason is that you're free from any kind of campaign contribution limits, when you can do anything, how much you can do. And they kind of did play, you see in the movie For Liberty, they're talking to a former FEC guy, the Federal Election Commission, one of their head guys or something, was a consultant and private attorney that said, okay, yeah, you can do the blimp, but you have people that contribute are buying so many seconds or minutes of time that it's up there. And I'm going, it doesn't even say president or 2008. It just said, who is Ron Paul and Ron Paul revolution? How could that possibly have it? Well, it's, you know, it's McCain-Feingold kind of stuff. You know, they'll find somewhere to, because they can. Well, my thing is that, you know, freedom of expression and right of association and free speech and whatever is in, it's my free speech. It's my freaking money. And I can give it to whoever I want. And then whoever I give it to, they can do whatever they want with it. If I give it to a group, a union, a corporation, a special interest, or whatever, that's why I gave it to them, is for them to do this kind of stuff. They're saying, no, we're going to regulate it. You can't do advertising certain kinds 60 days before election, or 30 days. And then it was, you know, it was Hillary's book. They did an anti-Hillary movie or something against. And this one guy does a book. And it just got to where, you know, you could interpret this law to squelch anybody saying anything about anything. Okay. And it was kind of aimed at like Fahrenheit 9/11, you know, Moore's book on against Bush. Would that be free speech that could be limited? And I'm going, you know, it's, you're going down the dark side trying to limit this kind of stuff. And you're better off attacking. This was the first hurdle they had to get over, is get away from what people can do expenditures from these private organizations. But then we still have limits on individuals. Can I give $100,000 to whatever? No, you can't. Why? It's my money. You know, and they go, well, influence, got special interest of one person doing it. I'm going, yeah, so don't vote for him. I mean, you know, it's you know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? We'll talk about that a little bit more when we got more time when we come back, because there's more details in that, and I know what they're going to try and do. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Jet Lacy were going over the President's State of the Union speech. And a lot of times, I was listening to a talk radio. I almost never do. And somebody used my car and had it on. I get in, there's some talk guy going blah, 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 conservative radio station here in the Valley. And they were going on about, I'd be respectful. You know, if he came in, I wouldn't, call him all kinds of, even though I think he's a blah, 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 blah. He'd be Mr. President this, Mr. President that, and so on. And I started thinking, I go, you know what my first question in my mouth was, mouth would be? I go, okay, Mr. President of somebody, what makes you my president? How does that work? Why are you my president? What is the thought process and the mechanism that creates that? Just explain it to me. Blah, blah, blah. That would be interesting. Okay, Mr. President. Okay, are you my president? Okay, how are you my president? What makes you my president? What's the process? What's the justification? When does that, whatever that deal is, that social contract, is there any way for me to get out of it? When does it become null and void? What's the deal? What is the contract? What's the side that you're supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And if one of us isn't doing something, if I don't abide by, you throw my butt in jail. If I'm not part of the collective, I'm not, holding up my end of the bargain, I'm an enemy combatant shipped off and get tortured. So I'm just going, at what point are you held to whatever the deal is? And what is the deal? You see, you start off at the base fundamental, before you even get going into anything else, they'll fold like a wet napkin. I don't know. Or they'll come up with something. And how they justify it or make the argument will be very interesting. It'll be telling. Whether they're justified or not, being my they can convince you or not, it's the mechanism that they would use to say they rule you. One of the ways that they rule you is they control how you are able to participate in their replacement. And that is going to be, I go, okay, so let's say I concede that you're my president, all right? And how do I make you not my president? Okay, well, you go through these stages of whatever. This issue came up in, I remember in 94 when I first ran for Secretary of State here, the gubernatorial candidate for Libertarians was now Judge Buttrick. He's a Superior Court judge here in Maricopa County, appointed by a Republican governor. And it is to get him out of politics. Well, he's going to retire pretty soon. I'm trying to get that boy to run for president as a libertarian in 2012. That'd be grins and giggles. You watch.
What a great person. I got the opportunity through you to meet him a few times. What a kind, gentle, direct, honest, libertarian person,
He is, it's a younger version of Ron Paul with a little bit more wit. And kind of just he's a judge. I mean, the guy's got skills. When he gets unleashed on America nationally, it's going to be all over. I got planned way in the future. I knew what we were going to do in the mid-90s. This is, 2012, got it all worked out. And part of that is, me running for national chair, which is why tomorrow I go to Washington, D.C., and I'll be in Manhattan, Philadelphia, Newark, Boston, Norfolk. I'm traveling all of their different groups I'm meeting with. And the thing is that I'll be pushing John Buttrick. I'm going, look, man, you want to see the future. This is kind of, and he doesn't even know it. He doesn't have a choice. But he's been on the National Platform Committee as chair, and he's done a lot of work.
Ron Paul didn't really have a choice either in 2008.
Right. It gets to a point to where, okay, man, leave me alone. The one thing that he made a very great argument in 94, it was about campaign finance laws. And before that, it was after that they brought in clean elections. There was all kinds of corruption, like there always is, and they wanted to, we're going to fix it. We're going to do clean elections. We're going to have the only special interest is the government now. So we knew where that was going. Well, McCain-Feingold, this portion of whether you can limit the times and corporations and how much they can do on issues or mention other people, it's selectively enforced. I can guarantee you that. Don't ever think that McCain was going to have his name on anything that was going to limit him total access to whatever money he wanted. That was not going to happen, okay? What was really going on, it was the limitations on what influence you could have, or small groups, or these 501c whatevers. I couldn't possibly care less about that. The revolution, the Ron Paul revolution, was not a group. We, from the very beginning, this is the genius that we had from here, that we knew of this. Do not put yourself in a position to be asking for permission. It's individual stuff. Oh, they're doing, yeah, whatever. You should go arrest them. Go get them. Was there some central committee that you're going to arrest? You know, and that's kind of the problem I have with the National Libertarian Party. If you do anything as a party, well, then you got people that are filling out paperwork and what they did and didn't. If you unleash the libertarian activist and just let them go do what they want, they will kick the living crap out of them. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I advocate. What happens in McCain-Feingold is that they did not address the issue of how much an individual can give to a campaign. What they did is they addressed how much and groups and when they can spend the money that they gave. And the reason that this came up as a problem is by limiting individual contributions to stuff, well, then they would bundle special interest money of people that wanted something into a group that then this political action committee, they would then spend the money in support of whatever it was they gave the money for. Man, that's about as special interest as you can get. You want to get away from that, unleash the individual. They never addressed that. Well, John Buttrick did in 94, and he made it a very good point, because I was running against, at the time, the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate. The Speaker of the House later would become governor. At the time I was running against her for Secretary of State, she's Speaker of the House, and she had gotten all kinds of gifts. They always giving you something, and they make legal, you know, acceptance of gifts if it's only so much in certain circumstances or whatever. I get my free set of Ping golf clubs. Now, Ping is made here in the West Valley, so she got a free set of Ping golf clubs. I'm like, hey, man, you know, can I get one? Like, what the heck? And the thing is that the problem was not that she got the Ping golf clubs. It was why she got the Ping golf clubs, because they believed that you can get some kind of benefit from doing this. You know, you think nicely and smile upon me, right? Because why? Because she would have the power to grant them some kind of favors. That's what the tax laws are all about. It is the granting of favors, lobbyists doing in their little special interest and this write-off and who gets, and socially and economically engineering the planet. And if you have the power to give somebody something, guess what happens? Money will always, every freaking time, I don't care what laws you pass, I don't care how many pieces of paper, I don't care how many pages it is, I don't care how many regulatory committees you got, I don't care. You will always find money going to influence the use of power. So what is the solution? Eliminate the power. Libertarians are the hobbits. We don't want to wear the ring of power. We want to chuck it in the fires of Mordor. We want, you know, not change the guy behind the lever that controls your social and economic life. We want to eliminate the lever. They always argue over all this is about how they're going to select who is the person behind the lever, and they never address the lever. That's what libertarians do.
I mean, ideally, yes, but that's not always the case even with libertarians.
What do you mean?
You know, there are some libertarians that join the Libertarian Party to hold their own version of the lever.
Yeah, but that, by definition, they're not really libertarian, you know. But what do? You got to excommunicate them or something? That's not the point. You just do the clear definition of libertarianism, and then whether they are or not is up for obvious review by the individual looking at them. You know, like, we got Wayne Allyn Root and Bob Barr. Yeah. You know, they're libertarian. No, they're not. Yeah. Just because they got an L after their name on the bat don't mean squat.
Well, that's why I say I'm a small L libertarian.
Right. And now you understand the difference. A lot of people say, are they small L or big L libertarian? And for people that don't know what they're talking about, what the heck are they talking about? What the hell's the difference? A big L libertarian means that you're libertarian by virtue of you went to some government agent and filled out a form and said, I'm a Libertarian Party member now or something. You know, the government classified you as a libertarian. You're a big L libertarian. I'm in quotes. I'm a libertarian. I got my little, see, I'm a libertarian. I got my voter registration card. You know how many times I've heard that. I'm a libertarian. See, and they want to show you their shiny badge. And I'm going, ooh, boy, that makes you a libertarian. It's a philosophical thing. You know, a small L libertarian, you see, Ron Paul's a freaking Republican congressman. Do I consider him not a libertarian? I consider him more libertarian than anything else. You know, because no matter what his issue is, even the pro-life position in libertarianism, it is a non-aggression principle. Do you believe that you can or cannot aggress against an individual or not? If you believe the unborn is an individual, then you're pro-life.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's and in libertarian circles, that's how we approach it.
He was on CNN last week, and they asked him if he was a Republican or a Libertarian, and he said yes.
Yeah, he goes, you can be a liberal Republican, a conservative. How come you can't be a Libertarian Republican? Hell, and I tell you this, in this next election cycle, every Republican's going to say how Libertarian they are. You watch. But are they? Well, fortunately, we're helping define the word so you'll know.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
We've been going back and forth for a century. I want to steer markets. I want them set free. There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it. Play low interest rates.
No, it's the animal spirit.
The place you should study isn't the bust. It's the boom that should make you feel leery. That's the thrust of my theory. The capital structure is key. Malinvestments wreck the economy. The boom gets started with an expansion of credit. The Fed sets rates low. Are you starting to get it? That new money is confused for real loanable funds. But it's just inflation that's driving the ones who invest in new projects like housing construction. The boom plants the seeds for its future destruction. The savings.
Yeah, you want a lesson? You want a lesson in Keynesian economics versus Austrian economics? Watch the rap. It's the, you know, it's Hayek versus Keynes, and it's funny as heck. And we had it up yesterday on the show. Jets got it in yesterday's archive, and you can go watch it there. But it just really brings it to a T. I mean, if you have the power to give out money, print money, you know, push pull politics. I mean, you know, who's your buddy? They're going to use that power. You have to eliminate the power. You want to get money out of politics and get back to philosophy and people making rational choices based on informed decisions, then you got to get the power to give all these favors away to people, because if you don't, the money will always control that power, usually to make more money.
Give me the power to control a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws.
Exactly.
And amen. That was Warburg that was part of creating the Federal Reserve.
Central banking guys, man. They're like, yeah, you can sit there and, you know, gaze in military or not. I couldn't possibly care less who makes the money. I mean, that is what's going on. So the one thing that when this issue comes up, and the one problem that I have with the focus of the Libertarian Party in general, as certainly on a national level, is they don't address election fraud. Think about it. You're so worried about, you know, Nike. You know, I go, yeah, I want my campaign sponsored by Nike. You know, I did it in my 2006 election cycle. I just to doink them, just to go after clean elections. I go, when you run a campaign and you have your campaign signs out there, they will plaster a black letters on yellow stripe up in the corner diagonally up there, endorsed by the fire union, endorsed by the police union, endorsed by the Arizona Republic or some other newspaper in your area. Okay. And I go, oh, the paper, that's like a private entity. I go to clean up. I wish, actually had a meeting with him, sat down, just doink him. I knew I was going to do it anyway. I just wanted to have some fun because I know these guys. And I go, let me tell you what I'm going to do, Barbara. That's just FYI. And I'm just wondering, You know, I can't find a law in here that says how big the letters are in that endorsement. Does it have to be diagonal? Does it have to be on yellow, black on yellow? Does it have to be? I mean, because Arizona Republic's a private business. What the heck? I'm advertising. I go, I tell you what if I put on my sign endorsed by Napa Auto Parts? I want to do that. Now, what's the law? How do we do that? And they go, well, we'll get back to you. That's what I thought. So I put on there endorsed by freedomsphoenix.com. Every one of my signs had endorsed by freedomsphoenix.com. So, of course, what does the paper do? They're going, we found out that freedomsphoenix.com, of course they spelled it right, is really owned by Ernest Hancock running for Secretary of State. And I'm going, and they go, see, they gouted you. And I'm going, what are you, stupid? I got them to put my website on there. They talked about it, you know, and I'm making fun of it, and I put on the site what we were doing and why. And I'm going, they're so easy. It's like when I was on CNN. They go, well, it looks like you guys stage this. I go, yep, you guys are so easy. It's just how you play activism. But what happens is if you want to get rid of the money going into government, the only thing you can do is eliminate the power to give favors. And the income tax and IRS and corporate tax, all this other stuff, you know, that just get, heck, that's why they have it, is so they can get the special interest money. What happens when you eliminate all that and people, the only thing that government is doing is protecting individual rights and forcing fraud when people do different stuff. And the fraud part's like what? Lying? You know, so what happens? I get a gazillion dollars from Microsoft, Nike consortium, along with, you know, Kia Auto Motors out of China or whatever.
And Chico's bail bonds.
Yeah, Chico bail bond. Here I am. You know, so, you know, if I'm not able to do anything for you, maybe they're supporting whatever it is I want to say. And I guarantee if they want to have an influence in it, they're getting the money in there anyway. How hard is this to understand? Of course they're getting the money. The biggest, baddest, worst guys do it. They create these laws to make it complicated so individuals can't do it. Well, they do. I'll give you an example. Here in Arizona, you go and you'll look at the campaign finance reports of candidates. And I've done this. I go look. You know, I see, you know, okay, I get it. You know, early on when I do all my lawsuits and everything, I understood how they get around this stuff. That's how they do it. They'll create Democrats of District 11 for we love you progressive legislators, de la whatever. Then they'll have District 11 Democrats for liberal, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just the same group of people. It could be 20 people could have, you know, 40 different PACs. And all they got to do is just fill out the paperwork, and they donate to each one of these PACs, and each one can give up to, I don't know, thousands of dollars or hundreds or whatever it is to each one of the candidates. Individuals can do this. All they got to do is have some guy that fills out the paperwork, and I guarantee there's some flunky operative that fills out the paperwork. So to think that you get away from this, quit being naive. Quit being stupid. Quit believing all the crap that they're telling you. You know what the answer is? Freedom is a freaking answer. What's the question? It's my money. I do whatever I want with it, and if I want to take money from whatever, it doesn't matter. The problem is election fraud. They're just convincing you that the stupid neighbor voted for whatever. Is that really the problem? We'll talk about it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, Jet Lacy on the board, talking about things brought up by the State of the Union by Obama last night. And I want to dwell on this McCain-Feingold thing. He's going after X amount of years of limitations on, and we want to control in this, and they're going to try and pass more McCain-Feingold kind of, you know, limitations on campaign and whatever. But I got to point this out. Do you think the first elections and influence here in the United States of these Americas back in post-revolution time, it's 1700s, it's early 1800s, you think the Bank of England, the Queens, Kings of the time were not influencing? And what was the only defense against it was the freedom of expression of the individual people. So what did they do? The first thing they want to do is to limit your speech. because they'll regulate it so that they will always get to say what they want to. Garen freaking tee it. Don't be stupid. Guarantee it. So what do? Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Unleash the American people. They would just let them be, you know, let them BS you. You know, just don't be stupid. You know, go do some research. That's the only thing that's going to save you. The only thing. Now think about it. If they come in, China comes in, we got gazillions of dollars and we're going to buy. What do you think Israel does? Hey, take all the state money that we send them in foreign aid and buy congressmen with it. Hello? How do you think this works? So then what do they do with that money? They are just convincing you. Even if they can't convince you, this audience, you probably are like, nah, no, I know better. I'm good. But what they do convince you of is that they've convinced you that all your neighbors and the other voters are stupid enough to do whatever they want because they've been able to propagandize them. Have they? And for how long can they do that? Can you fool all the people all the time? So what do? They just got to convince you. They just got to put doubt in your head. But where do they really get it? It is election fraud. It is the computers. I knew this. That's what got me, man. It was election. Election law. 1991, I filed 44 election law violations of the Constitution all the way to the Ninth Circuit. Went. I didn't expect them to do anything. I was like, yeah, whatever. I just wanted to paper the file. I wanted to document. I know exactly what you're doing, you sons of bitches. And that's my focus. It always comes back to election law, because they can eliminate competition or make them irrelevant or just pick their own guy, go in. The rest of it's just a psyop. It's just to get you to accept it or to believe that your fellow Americans are just all that stupid while they're making them that stupid with public education and propaganda and stuff. So I'm going, you know, I'm not, and things like, you know, what happened with Ronald Reagan Revolution in 92, the Perot thing, and certainly, especially, overwhelmingly, with the Ron Paul Revolution of 2008 and the Tea Party they tried to create and get hold of, it didn't work because people were educated. They're going, dang it, man, this internet thing, people actually communicating with each other and educating each other. It's going to be hard for us to do this. We need to keep some kind of campaign finance stuff. And they're going to try and pass something. Why? To limit you. You think the big bad guys with all the money is not going to make to the halls of power to get exactly what they want? Don't be naive. Don't be stupid. This is what gets me so angry. I mean, seriously, I'm not making this up, man. I am freaking pissed because the people will beg to be ruled. And the best way is that I want to limit my free speech because I want to limit that guy because I don't like what he has to say. And you're willing to put up with it because you're lazy. You think that by limiting them, it's going to all of a sudden make it better. No, it's not. Let them say all their crap. You know, when I go in these forums and so on, it limits about, well, this guy gets 5 minutes more than you to speak. Aren't you concerned? Heck no. Let him sit there and babble his BS all he wants, man. The more he talks, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Libertarians need 5 minutes. Give him 50. You know, of course I can go on for, you know, 50 hours, but, you know, the thing is that I am of the opinion that we have a very, very clear understanding of what is going to happen. And what's going to happen is they're going to get theirs. I guarantee it. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to advocate that you get to be free. And everything else will start taking care of itself. Now, think about what the government wants to do. The Pentagon Office of Special Plans that helped collect dubious intelligence that led to the war in Iraq, or the program where the Pentagon secretly briefed military analysts to promote the Iraq war, meet the would-be Office of Strategic Deception. In a little notice report earlier this month, the Defense Department's powerful Defense Science Board recommended creation of an entity designed solely for strategic deception against U.S. adversaries. Well, you think that's not going to be also people in opposed to U.S. policy, that it's just going to be against, you know, Islamo-fascist? The Pentagon is creating an entity of BS. It's propaganda machine. Specifically, the report reads, we recommend that the Secretary of Defense task both the Undersecretaries of Defense for Policy and Intelligence and the Joint Staff working with the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to create a tiger team to lay out courses of action and a way ahead for establishing a standing strategic surprise deception entity. The Pentagon is going to be having a BS department. And you, how do they do this? Murdoch. Murdoch has newspapers. You know, this is Fox News and all that kind of stuff in Australia. They print all this crap in Europe and all those papers. And then Fox News comes in. Oh, look what they've printed over. It'll make it back. I guarantee it. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Do not think you're going to curtail. So I don't care how big corporate zillions of dollars they spend. But in there, they're going to have it. You can only give $2,600 to Ron Paul and his congressional campaign. And I attacked it the only way that I knew how. I refused to be inside the campaign. I refused to fill out FEC reports. I refused to be on any line on any kind of report. I refused to be limited by the government. And I'm going to go across the country and I'm going to spread freedom and you get to do whatever the hell you want. Don't ask for permission, and you watch what happens. Well, it happened, and it's still happening. And we aren't even done yet. And what do you think they want to do? They want to stop you. And me. Are you going to let them? Are you going to let them? You get it now? Do you get it? I'm coming after you. Oh, man. But I do it with love. But there's a reason to my madness. But don't think there's not passion behind this. You know how many times I get pissed off every day? You know, with these guys, it's just, man, if it wasn't for certain recreational abilities, man, I'd be going crazy. I mean, you just got to take a break, man. Take a trip, never leave the farm. I mean, I'm just like, oh, man. Because I tell you, these guys, it's constant barrage of stuff. Just bam, 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 bam against my family, against my future, against my grandchildren, against my neighbors, against people I love. It is constant. I get this. On this show, I get this all the time of people begging for help. And I can do only what I can do is to go to you and say, quit going to the government for help or trying to regulate the freedom of other individuals so that you think that you're going to be protected from, you know, bad people are going to say bad things or give money to the bad guys to do bad stuff. That's just a smokescreen. That's just the BS. In that package, I guarantee you, it limits what you can do. And they'll come after you. I refuse. I'm not playing. I'm first. Yo, come. I need to know. We need to know. I was expecting. Honestly, I expected them to come after me. I expect. Well, they did. You know, in 07, they were right during all this. They did a clean election audit of me, and they came at me. And I'm like, you know, let's go to court, man. You want to know my spouse's siblings' spouses' names? Seriously, that's part of your form. I'm not filling it out. Let's go to court. I'll argue this all the Supreme Court, man. This is like, I saw this in a black and white Nazi movie. Let's go. 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 They didn't want to play. Eh, never mind. Yeah, that's what I thought. And then a bunch of their crap just got struck down 2 weeks ago. And I'm telling you, but we've been fighting this for a decade. But the libertarians, we could go in. We could take clean election money. You know, Barry Hess running for governor, you know, he could get almost $2 million. A libertarian candidate. We could go through this process. We just don't do it. How can you advocate against social and economic engineering when you're in welfare and corporate welfare if you're taking political welfare? Oh, it's so I could tell a bunch of people that I don't like welfare. I took this welfare so I could tell you I don't like welfare. See my point? What if you're really principled? What if you were small L libertarian using the big L ballot status? What if? You know, and Jet's learned a lot, too. You know, Jet's come, you know, he understood right and wrong coming in this stuff. And this has been an interesting, you know, perspective. But I know all his questions because I asked him the same as he did. You know, what's your big question? I mean, you know, one thing that really just, you know, got you going.
Well, the thing is again, when we were talking at the break, I don't know a lot about election finance or election law because I never really paid attention. And once I was awakened, I sort of stayed, you know, to figure out what exactly was going on with the economy. And I learned economics, and I still haven't really paid a lot of attention to the actual comings and goings of the election cycle. And my whole thing is about the corporations being sort of as human beings. in the law. According to the law, they're considered as human beings with all the rights and privileges associated with that. And how does that really affect, you know, their ability to contribute to campaigns?
Oh, it gives them, you know, personhood. It's like they breathe in and out of oxygen, carbon dioxide or whatever. I mean, you know, where did that come from? It was special interest. It was corporations that they wanted to have these kinds of powers that were given to individuals. And they, you know, so there's a big discussion on that, doing away with that. You know, no. You don't get, because all that is limited liability for individual scumbags doing scummy stuff. You know, how are they not held responsible? Well, because we said they're not. We give the corporation, and even corporations are suing small cities. They'll pass some ordinance, or we don't want this, or you can't pollute that. And they go, hey, man, you're violating our individual rights. What?
Wow.
And they win. Now they go, yeah, corporations are individuals.
Because I haven't read it, but I've, you know, the actual text. But I understand that when this country was founded, that you had to make a really good case to the government in order to be incorporated at all.
The only way that you had, which was a mistake even then. I mean, you know, because you knew it was going to evolve into this. What they did is they created corporations for a limited purpose, for a limited time, for a limited project. And it was like, this corporation is there for the public good. They had to show that it was for the public good. Well, then who gets to decide that? Government. See, once you start, it never ends. I mean, you know, so it was individual corporations would be created to build a canal, or you do an interstate thing, or they would build a dam, or they saw, then it was over. The corporation was done. Well, then they lobbied and they said, look, well, we need to have corporations to do like other stuff. It'll kind of pinky swear sort of be in the public interest, you know, and we'll limit liabilities because they saw the benefit. They could do whatever they wanted, and there was no individual that was held responsible. So I'm going, no. So if you did away with that, how would it change America? I don't know. Well, how do I look at it? You know, freedom's the answer. What's the question? That's why I always do. This is what I learned. Every time I look at any of these, the more complex it is, the more freedom solves the problem. Individual liberty, self-responsibility. You take away the liability and the responsibility of individuals, then they start going, hey, well, then you'll have all these lawsuits and product liability suits and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going, yeah, well, you have the people that file the suit be responsible for the damage they cause people when they file the suit. So if they lose, they got to pay for the cost of the other guy for doing it. If you have that philosophy and it applies across the board on both sides, and it's not the little guy gets to just sue the big guy for a chance he might get a settlement kind of thing, you make him responsible for the damage they cause by doing the suit when it's not, you know, it's frivolous or it doesn't have a merit. Problem freaking solved. Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
Well, that could go back to government too. And the thing is, like when I was arrested, you know, I would have liked to have taken it. You know, I got a DWI that I actually got out of that I would like to have gotten my money back from the state because they took it not only upon themselves when they lost the first time to appeal it, and they still lost again, which cost me twice as much money as the original.
You know, and these things happen. It's like the baseline killer thing that Mark Victor and I are working on. It's a long story. Bottom line was the Phoenix police had the evidence, and the detectives were begging for them to do the right test on it so they know who it was. Seven more people got killed because they didn't do it because of political reasons. They didn't want this lab to do it, wanted this one to do it, and they were waiting on software. You know, it was just stupid stuff. So wrongful death. I mean, you go after them, they pay. Had a guy that was on death row here. He gets exonerated. The snaggletooth killer, they were saying his dental bite matched, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it would come find out he was innocent. You know, DNA started coming in, all this stuff. So they pay. Oh, we're so sorry. And we do. So there are times, and they'll say, oh, yeah, you know, government worked. You only did 10 years and you got $1 million or something. Yeah. So this is, you have to understand, from my perspective, freedom's the answer. What's the question? Every time. Now, I got to address. We got a listener, Rick, in Norfolk. Wants to know if I'm going to be there, can I speak to him or a group and a gathering? Yes. Okay. And we're just, let me tell you how this works. I am a, you know, a, what do you call it, spontaneous order kind of guy. This stuff just happens. I put it out on the internet. I send it to some libertarians. I'm going to a Manhattan convention. I'm going to be hopefully meeting with Dr. Paul in the next week and kind of work around his schedule. I said, okay, I'm going to be there Friday. I got to be all Saturday. New York has me. And then anywhere in that area, you know, from Norfolk, I know a lot of people I've worked with on different stuff during the revolutions, and I have family. My brother-in-law, one of them is there, and I wanted to go visit. So I'm like, well, I'm in Norfolk. I know some people. I'll meet with them. Well, it's the Ron Paul Revolution meetup, guys. So, but I didn't know until last night that I had Saturday all booked up and Monday all booked up in Philadelphia. So now it kind of opens up. Okay, I got Tuesday and I got Sunday. And then part Wednesday, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. So I do Washington. So if in Norfolk you got something going on for Sunday or Tuesday, you know, I'm all over it. So we'll be talking to the guys there. So if you have something, Rick, you want to do, you know, publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. I'll make sure you get included, or you can help do it. Go on the meetup and let them know, here I come, pick a day. It's a spontaneous order. This stuff just happens, and my schedule will be full. Guarantee it. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Kentucky. You know, that's from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's a really cute movie. You guys should watch it. We really enjoyed that. And it has, who is it? It was Clooney.
George Clooney. It's all the people that are always in the Coen Brothers movies.
Oh, yeah. It was a really fun. I enjoyed that movie a lot more than I thought. It's kind of one of those just take a break things. And it's Constant Sorrow.
Well, it's based on the Odyssey, you know, by Homer. It's, you know, that's why there's the sirens and things like that. So if you look at it from that perspective, it's kind of neat.
Well, I haven't read the Odyssey, so I wouldn't know, but it was entertaining. You know, the one thing that I wanted to finish up on, you know, Jet had another issue that I thought was really good. Go ahead and explain what you were wanting to talk about.
Well, the thing is, you know, we made our predictions yesterday, and of course, I never thought in my wildest dreams that he would bring up 9/11. And he said, throughout history, no issue has united this country more than our security, not our liberty. Sadly, some of the unity we felt after 9/11 has dissipated. We can argue all we want about who's to blame for this, but I'm not interested in relitigating the past. I know that we all love this country, and all of us are committed to its defense. I'm sorry. I can't say it almost without laughing.
You know, this was it was interesting choice of words. And we looked on the word count on his State of the Union. I'll put that up. I'll get that Excel up on today's archive. And what it was from The Guardian or something out of England, and they compared all these presidential speeches and so on, how many times they used the word, you know, I and will and freedom and liberty and all this kind of stuff. I didn't see a single word, one time, that he said the word freedom. Not once that he, you know, said liberty. I can't see in the whole, all the words in his speech. So I'm going, that just has to be kind of a, I don't know, just a mindset of these people. They can't say it. It reminds me of that old Star Trek when they're, you know, find the Constitution in these, you know, the Yangs and the Kongs, you know, going against each other's Yankees and the Communists kind of deal. And they're, you know, he can't say it, for surely his mouth will turn to fire, you know, kind of thing. So I just think this is how they are. So now you're looking at him saying security, not liberty. Not pursuit of happiness, not anything. A security brings us together.
But there's a lot of people that feel that way. And I said it on the air when one of the shows that I did when you weren't here was that my own mother's boyfriend was saying that we need security.
That's a psyop. So but, much so we need an Office of Deception out of the Pentagon. So then 9/11, he said, yeah, but I don't want to, we're not going to litigate. We're not going to do, no, we're never going to touch that again. That's over. That's done. That's done. That's a dead issue. Really?
It says, I know that all of us love this country and all of us are committed to its defense.
Against what?
Yeah, but it's not the defense of individual liberties that was this whole country was based upon. It's the actual defense of the country itself.
This is, you know, our national interest at stake, our national defense, our national. It's all a psyop. It's the whole purpose of this country, declare your independence. Why? Because the whole definition of what government, the good government was in there, is the defense of individual rights. If they are not, that's how you tell they're bad. It is your duty, your right, and your duty, alter or abolish. Well, we're an altering and abolishing kind of people here.
Yeah, that's it. Well, thanks, Ernie.
Hey, no, it's always good. I'm glad you're feeling better and we had a chance to work together because, you know, Jet works hard, too. We'll see you tomorrow.